This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
Welcome to the fin24.com entrepreneurship podcast done in conjunction with Sasfin Bank. My name is Mark Ashton and I'm joined in studio today by Noah Greenhill, the Senior General Manager at the JSE, and Dino Theodoru, Corporate Finance at Grindrod Bank. This week we're going to see one of the biggest IPOs in history when Glencore lists. Noah, we've seen a lot of these interesting stories about companies listing, great wealth being created when you take your company to market. Maybe give us a bit of context in the South African context as to what the state is in terms of listings.
Yeah, Mark, it's an interesting question because, you know, when we list lots of companies, then we talk about the number of companies. When we don't list that many companies, then we talk about the size of companies coming to market. And obviously, last year we only listed 14 companies, but some of them were relatively big companies like Life Healthcare, Optimum Coal, and the other one that I can't remember its name. There was one other big one. So there were three chunky listings coming to the JSE. In the height of the hot IPO period, we listed in 1 year 63 companies. The interesting thing is, what did those companies get out of the listing? Would they be, and it's a hypothesis I'm not sure we can necessarily test, would those companies be in a better position had they not listed? Would they have a different valuation? Would they operationally be any different? Would their balance sheets look any different? You know, I kind of argue that in a significant amount of the companies, they're in a better position had they not listed. There are guys that you could argue perhaps shouldn't have listed in the first place, and those guys are perhaps suffering today. It's one of those hypotheses you can never test.
I think there's one of the things that we were talking about off air. I mean, there's a lot more scrutiny that comes with being a listed business. There's a lot more regulatory oversight. When you approach these entrepreneurs, a lot of these people have built businesses. They want to grow them into something meaningful. This is the cornerstone to a lot of their personal wealth. What are they getting when they bring their business to market?
So the rationale for a listing has to be clear. When you talk about the hot IPO period of the late 90s in the dot-com type environment, I think a lot of those guys listed because it was fashionable to list at that time. You know, their mates were listing, or a company in the same sector was listing, managing to achieve multiples that were just beyond anybody's expectation. Management were stagging shares left, right, and center and becoming instant millionaires in the process. And they had no long-term prospects or ideal around the listing. Okay. So it comes middle of the 2000s, and to an extent you could argue in some instances the same thing happened, but in most instances I think the rationale for the listing was better conceived, better thought out, better understood. But it's always good, and things are always wonderful when things are good. When share prices are going up, everybody's a genius and everybody can tell you how wonderful they are. And of course, when share prices are going up, the management teams and the chief executive officers are just geniuses. But then things start to turn. And for me, that's where the crux comes in. Because if you listed for the right reasons, and those reasons could be many, could be the ability to raise capital on the listing or later on, could be the ability to attract, retain, and motivate people, could be the ability to raise your profile beyond any kind of marketing that an unlisted company could do. So there are a number of reasons that a company could list, but it's a long-term game. If you're listing for the short term and you're listing because your mate listed and he was able to maximize the multiple that he was able to get on his listing, you're going to take pain.
Dino, I want to bring you in there. I mean, maybe you're obviously dealing with these kind of issues on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis. You're seeing people bringing you businesses and saying, I'm now looking to maximize my wealth. Let's split into two questions here. you've got the entrepreneur on one hand looking to basically build their personal wealth out of this, and on the other side you've got exactly what Noah was talking about there, a business that wants to take itself to the next level. Maybe let's look at it from the entrepreneur's perspective first. What are they looking at? What's driving people when they bring you a business that they're ready to list?
It depends. And my view would be you need to try and differentiate between the entrepreneur who's listing for the correct reason and the entrepreneur who's really trying to achieve a dream that he's had, where he's starting off in a very small environment, growing his business, and ultimately wanting to see himself in a listed environment. In terms of the entrepreneur who's effectively driven his business and grown his business, based on proper business fundamentals, they would probably be looking at expansion capital. They would be looking at raising the profile of their business. They would probably be looking at incentivizing management. One of the key issues in a smaller business is dependence on a smaller number of management members. And the key question we keep asking ourselves is there adequate succession planning in this business? So if you're going to bring a company to market, the entrepreneur has built a business which hopefully is different or provides a unique product offering compared to all its other competitors. Once you've ticked those boxes, you have to suss out the entrepreneur to determine whether he's effectively listing to take his business to the next level or whether he's effectively just trying to realize a dream. If he's trying to take his business to the next level, he would be focusing purely on the strategic growth of his business and where he wants to see his business in 5 years' time. It's a little bit of crystal ball gazing. It's a question we always ask the entrepreneur: where do you want to be in 5 years' time? If the answers are more around the growth of the business in terms of diversification, product growth, expansion into new markets, into new territories, the attraction of better intellectual capital into the business, then we know we're on the right track.
No, you want to jump in there?
Mark, can I just come back to the issue around the regulatory environment? Because it's always an issue for me when people kind of say the regulations in being listed are more than in being unlisted. You know, just to put it into perspective, the Companies Act applies whether you're listed or whether you're unlisted. The Income Tax Act applies listed or unlisted. The Competition Commission applies listed or unlisted. The SRP code applies listed or unlisted. Code on corporate governance applies listed or unlisted. So for me, and I think it comes back to one of the rationales that management has to get around, is the difference is you're in the public domain. Now, as an entrepreneur, you sit around the table with your management team or your other shareholders or other board of or other directors, and you kind of say, should we do this? And four other guys go, yeah, good, lovely, let's go do that. And off you go and you do it. In the listed environment, you have to understand that you're now another shareholder amongst a whole host of other shareholders in doing stuff. For me, one of the issues in determining whether or not it's a good idea to list is the maturity of management. And I think that comes back to what Dino is saying. You know, if you just sitting there going, yeah, you know, listing sounds good. Again, you're going to get carried out in a stretcher. But this regulatory issue shouldn't be the criteria to determine whether or not you list or don't. And in actual fact, in the discussions that we have with guys, the minute regulation becomes a discussion point, I'm kind of saying, guys, slow down. Get yourself into a position where you're comfortable in complying with regulation in an unlisted environment, and then when you're ready with that, then we can talk about listing. And because the minute you're talking about regulation and you're looking for ways to circumvent regulation, or you're gonna, it's a quantum leap to go from being unlisted to listed, then you're gonna take pain.
I mean, I think one of the things we've seen in the last couple of years is that there have been a lot of, I'm hesitant to use the word marginal, but there have been some businesses which have been vulnerable to the economic cycles. We've looked at the construction businesses. How often are companies ill prepared for what they're, you know, in terms of structure, in terms of being ready to come to the JSE? It's great to get yourself listed. It's great to say, I'm going in the boom times. I've cashed out as management. But how often are the businesses properly structured for the listed environment?
I guess on the small cap side, we found that there's a fair number of companies that have come across where the tough times and the recessionary impact has effectively highlighted those issues. When the times are going well for the company, when there's adequate cash flows, when there's access to capital, when there's access to intellectual capital and all those good things, you generally find that the main challenges of management are sort of easily overcome. The minute you bring to the table margin constraints, reduction in overdraft facilities, loss of management skills and all those good things, it is at that point in time that you realize that the backbone of the business is probably not as strong as what you thought it would be. And there's only so much you can do in terms of your preliminary analysis and sort of checking out the business before you bring it to market to try and determine whether they would be strong enough. If you bring a 70-year-old business to market where it's gone through a couple of management changes, it's seen the good times and it's seen the bad times, it gives us a lot of comfort that these are the companies that will probably see itself through the bad times. When you're looking at a business that's got a 5-year track record or a 10-year track record, and the CEO has been in the position for the last 2 years, the FD has been put in place 6 months before listing, those are the red flags. Those businesses generally, during tough times, will probably be separated from the better companies.
But keep in mind, you can't test for what Dino is talking about. So, you have to take things at face value. You have to take things with the bona fides with which they come. You also have to appreciate that we wouldn't have large companies if we didn't allow small companies to grow and develop. And of course, people make mistakes. The big difference is you're in the public domain. You could argue that those same consequences of an economic downturn affects unlisted businesses. You just don't see it. You just don't feel it as much as you do in the listed environment where, you talk about the construction sector. Yeah, okay, so the construction sector at this moment in time is under pressure. But 10 years ago, the IT environment was under pressure. 10 years before that, another sector was under pressure. And 10 years before that, and 10 years from now, there's going to be another sector who's under pressure. That's the market. That's what makes it so fascinating, is that companies are going to come and go, sectors are going to come and go. Today this is going to be fashionable, tomorrow something else is going to be fashionable. But that's the market.
I think Dino touched on a point there. So the management that are actually going to be running these listed businesses, and it's, you'll see there are very few instances where you'll have sort of an Adrian Gore who's able to take a business from scratch and sort of fit that. I use the term suit loosely, but you have entrepreneurs who love to get their hands dirty, but they're not good at necessarily doing the corporate governance side of things. And I think that's one of the, we talk to entrepreneurs who are saying, cool, we were interested in listing our business, but I'm worried about having to let go of control. I'm not sure I'm the right person to run it in this environment. I mean, how often does that come up as an issue?
A lot. Management is key.
Particularly around the small caps. Mm. They generally family-run businesses,
yep,
with, links to a strong financial director and maybe a marketing director that's probably not part of the family. And then you can count on your one hand the dependence on management in that business. And those businesses tend to obviously come across with a lot of management reliance and all those good things.
And that, I think, is fundamental to a successful list, is either the maturity to acknowledge that the chief executive officer who's run the company since inception and is now in a position to list and is now able to say, I'm not the right person to take this business to the next level, number one. Or number two, I am the right person, but the appointment of an appropriate independent non-executive chairman, the appointment of the right board members around that organization. A lot of maturity in that. Very difficult decisions. You've run your business as your fiefdom the previous however many years. Now you've got to talk to a whole lot of other people. And I think that's where the advisors play a significant role. And again, the strength of Dino and his team of being able to say to that CEO, you need this guy on your board.
And I think astute investors, and I'm not talking about sort of the Joe Soap and public in terms of the daily trades in and out. I'm talking about astute investors who are holding on this thing for a bit of a medium to longer term. they're able to differentiate between window dressing the board and the real business drivers. And when you set up investor roadshows and analyst presentations, analysts want to talk to the people that make things work in the business. They don't want to talk to somebody who's just a public profile. So if you're going to have somebody like that who basically profiles the company, is maybe the PR director, and tries to profile the company, that's fine. But right next to him, you should have the CEO and potentially the FD at all of those presentations. And I think all of them should have a big part in portraying the company and talking about the company's prospects, the past results, and any other future developments.
You take a company like Ellie's, where Ellie Selko, who started the business, ran the business, built the business from nothing. You know, when they listed, he stood down. Well, he didn't stand. He stood down as chief executive, put himself in the role as non-executive chairman, and put in a CEO that had been with the business for a long time. We often see a lot of that, you know, especially in those kinds of businesses. Especially, and I'm not saying Ellie is not the right person to run the business, but there was a level of maturity in that business in order to take it to the next level.
So one of my readers listens in on this podcast. They decide, great, I'm going to go ahead. I'm looking to list my business. Give me 2 minutes snapshot of what, you know, what they should be thinking about in terms of where they position their business, what skills, what are the immediate flags that jump out at you when these guys say, great, I've decided I'm going ahead with this. What are the problem areas that you guys encounter quite often?
I'd say corporate governance and corporate governance. You know, my kind of view is, if there's a business there, there's a business there. That's for the advisors to double check. But for me, corporate governance is the key.
I would agree with that. What I'd like to add to that is whether they have looked at any other forms of capital raising. Why do they want to list? And I think that's the million-dollar question we put forward to our clients as well. Is forget about the dream and the profiling. And can you achieve raising the capital in another form? If so, then why are you going the listing route?
Excellent. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on the Fin24.com podcast.